everybody, welcome back for another episode here recapping Big Brother, the Challenge Season 35, Total Madness, not Big Brother 20, despite what it kind of seemed like in the episode that we just watched here. And of course, with me to break all of this down is my co-host, Brian Scally. How are you doing tonight, Scally?
Hello, hello. I am good. Just watched another episode and feel like it was pretty decent. Not my favorite, but not so bad.
Is there another episode this season in contention for having the most drama in it? I mean, Josh and Swaggy was a thing, but this one was like pretty jam-packed with drama, tension, fighting. I feel like this season's kind of been lacking that.
I feel we had Nani and Nisa, but that wasn't like so bad. Maybe the fight has gotten louder in the other ones, but this one seemed to be stretched throughout the length of the episode where the others did not.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a pretty intense night between our Big Brother 20 alumni who, again, we've talked about how impressive it is that they've made it this far into the competition in the first place, let alone the fact that, they're here towards the end game causing drama, causing some storyline and keeping their names as big characters here towards the end game. There's a lot of people that are still in the game that I feel like kind of have fallen off the face of the show, some of them intentionally and some of them just kind of have fallen to the side. And somehow here we are towards the final weeks of the show with Casey, as she was so quiet for so many weeks, and now here she is, like, the star of the show.
Yeah, star is an aggressive word. Present is true. But, Casey definitely made her mark on this episode more so than any other, and it seemed like a lot of storylines that have been brought up earlier in the season have kind of come to a head here. So definitely showed why they highlighted certain scenes earlier that seemed like they might not have been as big of a deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, I don't think we have a whole lot from like the outside Challenge universe to really talk about today, so I see no reason why not to just dive right into the episode and just start talking about this, the Casey versus Bailey drama, as we left off at the end of the last episode, of course, losing Swaggy C, and of course this episode this week started off with Bailey catching us up on, you know, her current thoughts about how her plan for the game was Swaggy. That's what she was going with, her head, with her heart. Everything that she was working on was all about her and Swaggy, but Swaggy's out now, so she does have to come up with some kind of new game plan. And she, of course, is one of the people who still does not have a red skull. We're kind of limited in those people still remaining in the game as of this episode. Of course, it was Bailey, Melissa, and Nani on the women's side who did not have a red skull. It was a female elimination day, so obviously there's an opportunity for at least two of those people to go in, which we saw is how it all played out. And yeah, the Bailey versus Casey drama began, which I don't think really there were any hints to any of this happening earlier in the season. I feel like it really did kind of come out of nowhere besides like the preview for last week.
The one thing that like jumped into my memory was when there was some of the scenes with like Nani and Casey, and earlier in the season, I was like, oh, it's weird that Bailey was really throwing Casey under the bus here, considering that they're pretty good friends. So that was weird. And now I'm like, oh, that must have been filmed now. Mm-hmm. And so that was why Bailey was very willing to throw Casey under the bus earlier in the season.
Yeah, and obviously like a lot of this talk in this episode was about the Big Brother 20 relationship between the two of them, which we'll get into all of that. But do you remember coming into this season, did you feel like they were going to be like, I guess, I don't know, that's a tough question for me to even get out, because I think we assumed that Big Brother 20 was going to stick together, because why wouldn't they? They even talk about that in this episode, that obviously the game plan was for all of us to stick together. But like when you dive deeper into the relationships, it makes sense that, you know, there was the level 6 versus the Faute. Like that was Casey and Bailey were on opposite sides. So the fact that there wasn't 100% loyalty, like even if it was 99 or 98%, it wasn't 100. And that showed in this episode that, you know, Casey was willing to make a different deal.
If you have Davon and Polly coming out of a season like BFFs, then the expectation for me is pretty much any Big Brother players that are coming into a season of the challenge, especially until they become, you know, the majority at some point, they kind of have to stick together for at least a while. I guess since Casey integrated so well, that really did not become a necessity anymore. But definitely for me, the expectation was Big Brother sticks together because they have a reputation for being strategic and will get targeted otherwise.
Right. We're down to three Big Brother people left in the house without Swaggy around anymore. Just a quick thing that we see in the beginning of this episode, we see Fessy with Corey and Nelson, and the three of them like solidifying the fact that they've been working together, I guess, all season, but now they're like, oh, these are the people that we're all working with, and we're down here at the end, we all have our Red Skulls heading towards the final. So, you know, shout out to Fessy, I guess, for being on track to make a final on his first rookie season. Obviously, that's a pretty big accomplishment. It looks like there's nothing stopping him from making it there, with especially still people that need to go into an elimination. So at least he is doing well for the Big Brother people remaining. But yeah, this Casey versus Bailey thing just really took off. I mean, just to quickly talk about Fessy here, any surprise to see that he is working with these guys, that he's doing well in this game? I don't think that we're too surprised given his challenge like size and whatever, but I don't know. What do you think?
No, I did like the one bit of editing where Corey pulls the plaque off the wall and he's like, all right, like I have to give you your man's name, and it pans over to Fessy when you're expecting to see Bailey. So that did make me laugh. But to see Fessy team up with the Young Bucks, like he fits right in there, as in a lot of muscle, not a lot of brain. So I am not super surprised to see him there. And I think that seeing Fessy do well overall is not super surprising to me.
Yeah, I would agree, especially we've also talked about this, given the format of the season being what it is. Otherwise, I think Fessy probably gets thrown in a couple more times. And even towards the end of this game, I wouldn't be surprised if he got thrown in, in the coming weeks. I don't see it happening because of the fact that there are still people that need the Red Skull. But in any other circumstance, I don't want to run a final against Fessy. And I feel like if I'm like Johnny Bananas still in the game with Fessy, I'm like, how do I get this guy out? I know that Corey and Nelson are kind of dumb and not great on puzzles, and maybe Fessy isn't either. But like Fessy is much stronger and more intimidating looking. So, I would expect that there would be more people afraid of him, but haven't heard anything like that. So kind of assuming that he's in a decent spot.
They've highlighted that Fessy is the biggest and Fessy is the fastest, which is not a combination that you come across that often. If Fessy was a little bit better at puzzles, it would be a very, very scary competitor.
Yeah, I do anticipate, if he is on the cast for 36, him going a little bit higher in the draft order. Not that he was not super high here. He was kind of like still in the first half, I think. I think he was exactly the last pick of the first half, if I'm looking at this board correctly. I'm not sure. But I can see him going a little bit higher. Let's circle back to the Casey versus Bailey. It obviously gets set up here at the beginning of the episode where it's really going to be all about the Casey and Nani of it all. Casey and Nani have been highlighted a bit here and there throughout previous episodes that the two of them have been friends and maybe a little flirty, but it seems like everybody is catching on to the fact that there is something between these two. All we hear is that they're vibing. They're vibing out. They're vibing here, vibing there, vibing everywhere. Casey is making it seem like there's not a whole lot actually happening here. You know, we're just friends. Nani might be seeing this from a different perspective, but either way, it's spreading across the whole house.
Yeah. And so we've talked about Big Brother plenty already, but watching especially Casey, who in the Big Brother house, I know when you're watching live feeds, people do get like very cuddly and very handsy and like so affectionate. So when Casey's talking about like Nani is an affectionate person, and like that's fine. Like, yeah, Casey was in the Big Brother house, probably pretty used to that. I don't know if maybe I was the only one, maybe I saw it wrong, but it kind of looked like Nani kissed Casey on the neck, which I thought was maybe a little like that might be one step further than what I would expect out of, you know, casual friends in the Big Brother house. But I definitely understood the point that like Big Brother players generally do end up like very cuddly, and this is not out of the norm for Casey outside of neck kissing, obviously.
Right. So is neck the missing word that was in that That text on the bottom of the screen that was like that moment where Casey was like, Nani kissed Maya, and then it was like a blank, and everyone was like, oh, we got it on tape, we got it on tape. So that was Neck.
Yeah, I mean, it might have been the case, but I did not hear that clearly, but definitely looked like it from the like above headshot that they gave us. I did not get to rewind and go back to see exactly what was happening there.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I just wasn't quite sure. I didn't fill in the blank myself, and I wasn't about to go back and look, so I figured we could work it out. So we'll go with neck, even if it was something more severe or whatever. We'll go with neck for now.
I mean, I think there was like a point where she like definitively kissed her hand also, so that may have
Right.
been it. But I was under a suspicion of neck also.
Okay. Yeah, I'm fine going with neck.
Allegedly, allegedly.
Allegedly kissed her on the neck, which Bailey, I mean, Casey admitted to something. So whatever it was caught on tape. And even though they bleeped it out, everybody in the house heard. And I'm sure when the interviews start coming out from people that are able to talk about this week, we'll get the actual details on what went on there. But obviously, like all of this happening is being brought up specifically because Casey does have a girlfriend back home. She has been with her for a few months now. I don't know if they got together immediately after Big Brother 20, but they've been together for a decent amount of time now. So probably like a year. I keep thinking Big Brother 20 was last year, but that was BB 21, and maybe I'm just purposely ignoring BB 21.
Fair.
Yeah, but yeah, so besides the whole Taylor thing, well, Taylor is Casey's girlfriend. There's also the fact that Bailey is talking about how her and Casey had this connection in the past as well when they played Big Brother. And I don't know that it's jealousy per se with seeing Nani and Casey like this, but she just feels, I guess, like Casey is doing the same thing with Nani that she did with her, and considering Casey's loyalty doesn't seem to be locked in with Bailey, it is obviously causing problems from the beginning of this episode.
Yeah, I mean, you get someone who is also dating a Taylor and was named like the like crowned like the player of the challenge in Corey saying like I'm a player, like I was a player, I recognize Casey as well. And then I definitely think there's an element, and if not that Bailey is like jealous of like Nani and Casey by like Casey being affectionate with her. Bailey also did just lose Swaggy, so now she is not getting that affection anymore, and having to see it directly in front of her may not be the most enjoyable thing as well.
Yeah. And it's nice to see, like, we're still early on in this episode, Anissa talking to Casey and trying to like inform her, because I feel like this is the kind of thing that, like, whether you're in a Big Brother house or a challenge house, like, even though you're in this mix with all these people, like, it's hard to, I guess, like, if people are talking about you behind your back when you're not in the room, you don't hear everything, even though you are in such a confined space. That's how these games work, obviously. But like, it's nice that at least Anissa, I mean, tell me, I guess, what you think about Anissa, because on one hand, I'm saying like it's nice that she came to her, but also Anissa seems to have been like sticking her head or her neck into like or neck into every single like Casey drama bit this season. I feel like she's always butting in. Like, is it maybe too much? I don't know.
See, I feel like this is exactly what she tried to do in the bar, except then we said, like, maybe not the right time and place. And this
Yeah.
feels like probably the right time and place. Like, if Casey were to then blow up at her in the house, like she did in the bar, it may blow up, might be aggressive. But, like, to say, like, if she had that reaction of, like, don't talk to me, then Anissa doesn't have to try again. But so far, like, she seemed pretty receptive. And so I don't blame Anissa for, like, looking out for who she perceives as a friend.
Right. And just also while we're, setting everything up at the beginning of this episode, we do get like a confessional, I think, from Casey talking about how they did, connect on Big Brother, her and Bailey, and their friendship was good at the time, and they came into this show good and all this stuff. But at this point in the game, Nani has been a way better friend to her than Bailey has. And that's just obviously, we're finding out where Casey's head is at. I don't know exactly, like, it's hard to follow at this, like, at a certain point of like exactly who was voting with who and who was protecting who in certain tribunals along the way, like, especially when the format is like I'm not complaining about the format, but like with a format like this where it's like so many different people rotating in and out of power and this and that and Red Skulls this there, it's hard, like I couldn't tell you if Nani has voted with Casey more times than Bailey has or whatever, but I think the point is that everybody keeps saying Bailey and Swaggy were off on their own all season and did not make an effort to keep Casey in close while Nani was actively playing with and becoming friends with Casey every step of the way.
Yeah, not great play by Bailey there, or Swaggy for that matter. But to isolate themselves in the house, it's like kind of a trap that we see a lot of showmances falling into. And so it's not really a surprise. Like we said, that the West Swaggy Bailey alliance really benefited them both. But when West is gone, Swaggy's gone, and as you would say, Redacted is a persona non grata in the house now, doesn't really have many people left there to help her anymore.
Yeah, and I have so this has been like a theme for me all season long. Not much has changed. My feelings on Bailey and Swaggy have always been the most conflicted. I think I just love them, or I don't know, love. I really like
That's
them
strong.
outside of the house. I really like them just not playing these games. I can't get myself to come around to be a fan of these two as game players because they don't give me much to work with. Like they, I feel like this is the same thing we heard on Big Brother or we saw on Big Brother on the feeds that they just do spend a lot of time together and not socializing with the whole rest of the house. Like, tell me what you think about this, but like, is Bailey like, is it too harsh to say that Bailey is just not cut out for these games? Because sometimes you have to get to this part where you have to make these tough decisions and the way that she reacts to them and the way that she obviously has gotten this far in the season without keeping Casey close, like it's all fire backfiring on her now and she can't handle it. I'm just like, maybe she's just really not made for these games. I don't know.
I think Bailey has a lot of potential. Swaggy probably too, but I actually kind of feel the opposite, where I like these people are enjoying, they are entertaining personalities on the show, and I think that they have legs in the game. But they are might be a little problematic on certain things outside, which is where I'm not enjoying them so much.
Right.
But with Bailey specifically, the last time that she played a game, Swaggy goes home. And then she does a little, like pretty well, but then things come crashing down around her very aggressively, very fast, at least from her point of view. And, you know, outside circumstances definitely factoring in there. But so to see her then lose Swaggy and have things start to not go her way, it's not super surprising for me to see a pretty similar outcome in terms of her reaction there.
Yeah, I mean, look at the fight that we're gonna see at the end of this episode with Bailey, you know, getting loud, just like that. I don't even know how to describe the voice that she has when she's yelling at Casey. Like, it's just the exact same thing
Yeah.
that we heard from her when she was going after Tyler. Like, it was exactly that exact same energy. Just I was picturing the scene of when she, you know, ended up biting down on her lip so hard that, or on her tongue so hard that she was bleeding from the mouth in that scene. It was like the exact same thing was happening here when she was yelling at her, like, "Do not call me a liar. Stop making things up. Stop saying that I'm a liar." Like all this kind of stuff. I was like, this is the exact same thing. And she even, I mean, she admits it. She says many times throughout the episode, or to at least, you know, Bananas, I think she was talking to at the bar. She's like, "I have two emotion. I have two speeds when it comes to this kind of stuff, like confrontation." Whatever, I either break down and cry or I get super angry. So she tries to most of the time remove herself so she doesn't have to be involved. But when you're in these confined spaces, you can't just really hide forever. People come to you, the like word spreads back about how things are going, and it's just as much as she does her best to stay out of the drama while she is all fired up and, you know, upset about what's going on, there's not much you can really do to avoid it.
Yeah, and I think what it is when we hear like Bailey definitely gets upset and she yells, but you can hear there is so much like actual hurt in her voice. And that's the thing is that Bailey like really takes it personally. And so I think that like bring Bailey back again, especially maybe without Swaggy, or no, just Bailey without Swaggy. I'm not interested in the other side of that. But I think that really, like, she does have potential, but when someone that she trusts, and we'll get into that more, does betray her, I think that she just, it really feels it openly. And
right.
that's where we get, you know, the like pain coming out of her.
Yeah, and it's the kind of thing that, like, I guess maybe some people learn as they go throughout the seasons. Like, when you start to play more and more, like, on the first time you play, you're always going to take things emotionally. You're meeting people for the first time. Unless you're, like, some kind of super great, like, top-tier player, and you can just let the drama roll off your back because it's better for your game to not make a big deal out of it. A lot of people, you know, on their first time playing, second time playing, are going to take things as personally as Bailey does. But there are a lot of people who, like Anissa and Nani, after the fight they have, of course, the next day, it's all fine. You know, let's apologize and get over it. It made for a good TV moment, but it's like, all right, now we can move on. We, you know, I guess obviously the two of them have a friendship, so I don't know if that's like the best example. But point being that, like, a lot of people can recognize that if there is drama going on, even if it's a friend of yours, let it all play out. You're on a TV show. Like, you are making good TV in the process. Even if it's something like you're being betrayed by a friend, Kara betraying Brad or whoever it was at the Vendettas thing that we were talking about a couple weeks ago. I don't know what their relationship is like to this day, but I imagine that one of them, you know, that person understood that it was a game move, and it's like, whatever, it happens. Just Bailey does, like you said, take everything super personal, and it makes it, like, at a certain point, not even fun to watch, because you can tell how much she's hurting.
Yeah, it's definitely uncomfy, and it's something, well, I don't know, we can go on. I'm trying to see, like, you even get the one thing that I did, I don't know, I think we probably, like, would have skipped over it, like you said, when all of the guys have a reaction to like, oh, Casey says, like, oh, Nani kissed Maya. It's like blank, and every guy reads in. I was like, so a room full of men who have cheated on every girlfriend they've ever had are, like, hooting and hollering. It was like, so I think that there was, like, some element of it being specifically two women that, like, every single man got very invested in this in the house. I mean, we did see them get invested in, like, Bear and Kayla early, but it seems like when it is, you know, Bear cheating on his girlfriend, that's not an issue, and that's not brought up, and no one gets super involved. When it is Kayla, when it is Casey, when it, you know, whoever it is, that's when everyone in the house decides to get involved and to make it a big storyline.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking, like, the next way to go with this would be to kind of skip over the challenge a little bit. We can come back to that later. Obviously, we see that the winning team ends up being the team with Nani on it. And Casey was on the other team, right? Yeah, I did write it down this time. I was able to pause the screen. Can I tell you about my new DVR? Just moved.
Please do.
I have Fios now rather than Optimum, Cablevision, whatever you call it. And the DVR on the old system was, like, from, like, when DVRs were first invented. It just
you had a TiVo, basically.
I remember it was Podcast House Philly, and Colin was talking about how this great feature exists on some DVRs where if you keep fast forwarding past where you wanted to actually stop, like, the software, whatever, like, recognizes where you probably wanted it to stop or start, and it goes back to that. I don't know if you have that. Do you?
I know about it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I have never had that, and I was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. But what was that, like, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago at this point? It's been a while. And, like, the whole time I was like, I would love to have that someday. And now I have Fios with, like, a whole new system. I think it's, like, maybe, like, the newer version of whatever boxes that they give out. It was just incredible. And that's my 2 minutes about my new Fios. It stopped and started exactly when I pushed the button. I was like, this is so great. Living my best life with...
Well, I'm very jealous, but I was also going to say that you gave me, like, war flashbacks setting up the Philly DVR and projector. So that was not fun. But
it all worked out so well. We recorded the challenge. Everybody was able to record Jeopardy because people like that show.
Some people very much do not like that show, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, with this challenge, I would say that, did you ever play this game as a kid?
Oh man, yeah. I mean, yeah, okay, so let's just talk about it here. I played this game so much, like, whether it was on my iPhone 4, which or iPod Touch, probably not. Definitely the iPod Touch. Whatever this game is called, I think it's probably called a million different things. It was
like Traffic Jam, so, or something else.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I played it all the time.
Yeah, big fan of this game, and I remember like throw out the easies, give me the difficult. Like I was, as soon as I saw this, I was like, this is finally one challenge I could do on this show. I was so excited. Like this is the puzzle that I've been preparing for. So as soon as we saw them like ready and like we saw certain people taking charge, I was like, a role for me. Like this is where I would shine.
Yeah, I thought this was such a cool concept, even if it wasn't like the most exciting to watch it all play out. I mean, plus like it felt like the stakes are kind of low. Like I always feel like towards the end of a season time frame, like where people are throwing challenges because it's like, not that anybody was throwing this one, but like it just feels like they get less important or whatever as time goes on. But still, it was really fun to see this particular game because it was just really cool. Like the spray painted all the cars and put the challenge logo on top. I was like, all right, I don't know, if this cost them a lot, but I'm glad they were able to put it together. It was fun. And were you surprised that it was only two teams? I could have seen them easily doing like five teams, four teams.
Yeah, I don't know if they like took the note of it not being fun to watch a lot of rounds in a row of the same exact thing, but we have a seven person tribunal. This was so
I
stupid. Like,
know.
what the hell? Like, I get that like 14 is a difficult number to divide any other way, but they've had no problem making uneven teams in past rounds. So I don't want a 14 person, like, seven person tribunal. It looks so stupid.
I was like half expecting somebody to have to like pull up a chair on the side of the table. Like, when you go out to like a restaurant or something and there's just no room and you have to like ask a waiter to call over a chair for like the end of the table. Like, I was half expecting to see somebody sitting on the end of the table, like in that little walkway because there was no room for anybody else. But they somehow managed to fit.
Put Josh in the high chair.
Yes. TJ, we need another T, as if TJ's ever at the bunker. Forget
Can we get a
that.
booster seat over here?
What else? What else happened at the challenge? We see that Rogan is the brains of the operation, which, okay.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, Jenny's taking the lead, pissing off Nani a bit, because obviously Nani is really hammering home about how she wants to go in and get her red skull. So she's really, really trying to make sure her team wins this one. Rogan ends up going into a little bit of a panic, and their whole gameplay seems to get, shot to hell, but obviously not because they still end up winning. They feel good about their time. The next team goes, and I have absolutely no notes about them. I don't know if anything important happened, but obviously they don't win.
I feel like team two, it was like Bailey killed it, moving on. And then team one was Rogan is, I would say, better at puzzles than I would expect, but based on his critical thinking in how he handles most of the people in the house. But in terms of like, you have Anissa, you have other people, like Jenny seemed to really get it, and like they were hushed down very quick, and it was like only Rogan talks. Like, okay. And for Nani to be like, my life is on the line, so like what I want like happens. Okay, now someone else take over, but not you. Like, I was like, okay, so I don't know why Nani's not doing this, but then Banana speaks up and that's allowed apparently. So it was just like a whole big mess of people trying to speak, and somehow they win with a margin of 13 seconds.
Yes, 13 seconds separating the two teams, and of course you got to go to like the commercial break right before they announce the winner, as that happens probably every single episode, but it still makes me roll my eyes every time. So yeah, team one ends up winning. Nani is just so happy she could cry because this is her opportunity to go into the elimination, which is going to start round two of all the drama back at the house. Melissa is of course going to end up being the person that also goes in. So we get a confessional from her talking about how she wants to give back to her dad, and that's why she wants to win the whole thing. But the drama of it all is that Nani is telling Casey that she prefers Melissa. She wants to go against her because she feels like size-wise she matches up better against Melissa than Bailey. And they're talking about how Bailey and Swaggy, secluded themselves. We already talked about this a little bit, but basically Casey just trying to make herself feel better about the fact that she would be doing something that would be not in Bailey's favor. Obviously, if she ends up putting Melissa in, they're doing the math. They pretty much have realized that it's going to come down to Casey, which, as we get to nominations, it does. Melissa wants to be the house vote. Bailey is obviously annoyed about this, which let me we'll step back in a second, but we're going to see that it is Kyle and D voting for Melissa, Nelson and Fessy voting for Bailey, which puts it all down on Casey, who is ultimately going to vote for Melissa to go in.
Yeah, as soon as we got to the like deliberation room and there was like four people sitting there, I was like, where did everyone go? Because I had not yet realized that there was a seven-person tribunal, and for some reason they didn't make them pick three people or whatever the case, whatever they could have done. But no, there was only, five people voting. And so because I was like, this is going to be some editing that makes Casey the swing vote. But no, literally the swing vote, and just does not like consider Bailey. Like usually it'd be like, all right, like Nani is going in, that's what she wants, like my other friend Bailey like also would like to go in, so like here you go, you both get what kind of what you want, but it's not a perfect scenario on either one, but not good enough for Nani, and Bailey definitely gets the short end of the stick here.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Fessy pulled off last week when he was able to send in both Corey and Swaggy. And it's like, you're sending in two of your friends, but you're making them both happy. So it didn't work out. Didn't quite work out here, but whatever. I mean, if Nani wanted Melissa, again, Nani's the one that Casey feels has been the most loyal to her and the better friend to her over the past 2 months that they've been filming. So that's the decision she ended up making. But yeah, before we get to the nominations, we're going to see this scene of Bailey and Casey, where Bailey is hiding under her little swaley blanket that we haven't seen since it got introduced.
I was so excited.
Yes, I was like, oh, there's the blanket. It's like its own character on the show. Like, the blanket's gonna make the final. The blanket needs to go get a Red Skull. But she's literally like, yeah, she's like covering herself with it. She doesn't want to talk to Casey. I think she doesn't want to be on camera right now. She's like very emotional, as we can tell, and she does not really seem to want to get into this at the moment. And she knows what Casey's coming in to tell her in the first place, which is that she's planning on putting Melissa in over her. And Bailey is like, I just don't understand. Like, why? What is it that? Why do you feel like you're more loyal to Nani? Like, I just don't understand. I thought we had a friendship. I thought we were better. I thought we were cool. Like, this doesn't make any sense. And Casey's like trying. She's like, I do care about you. And she's like, no, you don't. No, you don't. So yeah, just a lot of fighting here with the blanket.
Takes blanketing, right out of the Big Brother strategy, definitely employs it here. It was, I mean, Bailey lays it out. Like she says, if you pick Nani over me, we do not have a friendship. So it very was very much clear, and Casey decided, I'm gonna do it anyway.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, Casey made her decision, and there's really not much that Bailey can do. And they talk about a couple times in this episode about how Bailey just doesn't have any friends, or doesn't have any pull, doesn't have any influence left in the house, because it was Swaggy and it was Fessy, and she still has Fessy. And I think it does seem like she kind of has Nelson and maybe Corey on her side in a way, but like, not enough numbers to make anything significant happen in the house. So obviously she was able to get two votes on her, which is a good amount in this group of seven, but she needed that third person, or I guess technically fourth, because they're allowed to, vote for themselves. But yeah, so that's going to be the way that the nominations play out, with Melissa being the house nomination. She's just so happy that her and her baby can go get the Red Skull. She doesn't know she has a baby yet. Pretty calm down. I saw Melissa put up a post like 20 minutes ago or whatever it was, saying, I guess people have been like reaching out to her saying like, are you crazy? You went into an elimination with a baby. And she had to like remind everybody again, like, I did not know that I was pregnant for the thousandth time. Of course it was a stupid thing to do if I had known, but I had no idea.
Which I would say perfect transition to Melissa is giving a toast at the bar when we get out.
She did say, I think she was on Challenge Mania, and I feel like she did say that she didn't do much drinking this season. And she said something about like, I don't remember if she said like she didn't feel like it or what, but like, yeah, so
She was
she.
like, I just didn't feel like it for some reason. And I was like, all right, either you didn't and cool, or say that now and probably a good idea.
Yeah, so I mean, whatever. So yeah, raising a toast here. Just so thankful to everybody for throwing her in, especially you, Casey. And then yeah, so this is the night out. Casey is just super excited for Nani to go into eliminations, and she can't wait to see her go in, because she's just so sure she's gonna come back out. And I'm like, you have not seen this show.
Yeah, she's like, you're a badass and people are scared of you. I was like, who is scared of Nani?
Like, if anything, if this was any kind of like reversed, everybody is picking Nani to go against in an elimination. Like, Big T will beat Nani in an elimination next season. Mark my words.
Oh, can't wait.
I
Literally, just like my
certainly expect it to happen.
dream.
Yeah. But yeah, actually, saw, I don't know if this was before or after. But just to continue this whole Bailey thing, she literally has like a panic attack at the house. The cameras are not like a full-on panic attack, which is obviously like nothing to joke about. And let me to slow down my tone a little bit so it doesn't sound like I am. The cameras are like not on her. She is. We're hearing all of the dialogue of everything she's saying, but there's no camera on her again. She's in some kind of like strange part of the house that I feel like, did the cameras have to like go find her because they heard what was going on? Or I don't know exactly what was going on here, but she's just really got to like a bad place here.
Yeah, I couldn't tell who she was talking to. It was probably a production area, and she probably still had her mic on. So then, like, a camera person came over, and she very much, like, I don't want you near me. So, walked away. And, like we said, like, Bailey takes this very personally, and it's not fun to see that. But luckily, she recovers, and Bananas kind of seems to think that she is a good person to scoop up while at the bar and kind of egg things on a little bit.
Well, yeah, typical Bananas there. He's he's talking about how, well, I think a couple of people were questioning this. They were like, why didn't you just fight for yourself? Why did he says to her, like, why didn't you turn the room upside down? Like, you could have easily made a big effort there and tried to like persuade her at the last second and try to get something to happen, or even other voters, rather, even if it wasn't Bailey, even if it wasn't Casey. She didn't, she obviously didn't try the whole time at the nomination ceremony. She just was like head in her hands, very defeated, really wasn't giving anything to anybody. And that's when Bailey says what I was mentioning earlier about how she only has these two emotions, two ways that she can go in times like this. And she's saying that she feels like she lost a friend and she's never going to speak to her again. And
Yeah,
she even
because
goes, go ahead.
Casey doesn't speak that much. You're not losing out on that much conversation there.
Ouchie. She even goes as far to say, though, that she is so excited so they can get back home so she can tell Taylor, again, Casey's girlfriend, about everything that's happened here. She's like, if she doesn't care about ruining my life, then I don't care about ruining hers. I'm like,
Yeah.
whoa.
Yikes. Like, this is like, oh, like, okay, maybe not great. Don't involve the outside people in this. But I mean, she's mad and definitely showing how, upset she is here.
And then Bananas is out here like, yeah, you should. Yeah, she. What right does she have to say things and do things to you? And you can go ahead and do that. I'm like, Bananas, if like, I mean, I don't know what he's been up to lately, but like, I'm sure you don't want people running home and telling Morgan about every single thing that happened while you were on the season.
Both past and present, especially.
Yes.
That's definitely not a box, a can of worms he wants to open.
Yeah, but I mean, typical Bananas instigating. He's truly just probably bored. There's nothing happening. I don't seem to see a single person coming after him. There's no Paulie, no Kara, no Ashley, no Cam. Like, who's coming after Bananas right now? Just side note about him. Obviously, the Red Skull thing is kind of helping him in the same way I was talking about it helping Fessy. But like, he's just sliding right through. Even the people that don't usually like him, Corey and Nelson, are just kind of don't seem to have any problems with him right now. I don't know. It's weird.
I could see a scenario where, the combo of Corey, Nelson, Fessy, some of them get into power and say, like, why not? He is the biggest finals threat on that side of the house. Let's throw him in. But I mean, Bananas, Wes is gone, so Bananas doesn't have those like joint confessionals to do every 30 minutes. So it is evident that he is very bored.
Yeah, definitely bored. And yeah, I mean, we do keep seeing about this alliance of the three guys that we were talking about earlier. So if there is any kind of strategic element to the final where people can work together, you'd have to imagine that Bananas would be on the outs of that. But I also don't know how many people are going to make the final, because I'm assuming if we have all those four guys that do make it, and then you also have one more of Kyle and Josh that end up making it. I don't know.
Yeah,
Five
funny
too
to
many?
think that a
Four.
strategic element could benefit Nelson and Fessy, but yeah, that working together for sure.
Right. So let's talk about the tribunal, I guess, a little bit here. The three names that are going to get called down by this massive tribunal.
The Septunal.
Bailey. Bailey, D, and Casey. Of course, D and Casey being brought in because I guess we just still need to have three names. But realistically, the only people that are being considered are Bailey and Nani, who is part of the tribunal herself. So we really don't get a whole lot from them anyway. I mean, do you have any notes from this?
I mean, there's. I was going to say, like, the show wasted our time. Let's not waste people's. But I would say only the Bailey Nani argument was
Oh
noteworthy,
yeah,
at
duh,
least.
duh. I'm thinking about like D had obviously nothing. Casey had a whole lot of nothing either. Bananas was trying to like push for her to like just spill more about the drama with Casey, and Casey was like, "Yeah, I mean it happened. What else is there really left to say?" But then yeah, Bailey versus Nani gets started, and that was like I think that was the fight that was in the preview, or at least the fight that comes later. But Bailey is not holding back here. She's talking about how. She's blaming Nani like straight to her face for the fact that Casey voted the way she voted for Melissa to go in. She's like, "You got your way." Nani's like, "Don't put that on me." And then it turns into just a lot of back and forth about Nani. I think Bailey's like calling her a liar. She's like, "How am I a liar? Like, what are you talking about?"
Yeah, I very much enjoyed this from Bailey, where Nani's like, "Don't put that on me." She's like, "Well, it was your fault." So, like, not backing down at all. Like, here is the fight. Come get it. So, that was very enjoyable for me personally. This was the kind of argument that I enjoy. But for Nani to, like, pretend that this was not her and to, like, play innocent, it was like, you're caught. And everyone knows. This is, no one's hiding from this. This was your fault. You asked for this, and don't pretend like it wasn't.
Yeah, and we get a lot of like the whole thing in this episode really having a lot to do with the fact that Bailey is talking about how on Big Brother 20, her and Casey had this relationship where they would cuddle a lot, and they would Casey asked her to sleep in her bed at one point, and they just had this flirtatious relationship. And I think Bailey even says like, if I didn't have Swaggy, if I didn't meet Swaggy in there, then Casey and I might have been a thing throughout that season. Like we might have actually like. Gone a little bit farther. Who knows what would have happened there? So in a way, it kind of feels like some kind of like lover's quarrel where Casey or Bailey and Casey are exes or something, and now Nani's the new girlfriend, and Bailey's like, "You are the one who broke us up." And I'm like, okay, it wasn't that serious, but she's taken it there.
Yeah, because Bailey does use the phrase that they slept together, which on Big Brother, there are a limited number of beds, so people end up sleeping in the same bed next to each other. And kind of in the confusion that can come from people saying that, you know, so and so hooked up, and that means different things to different people, that slept together definitely meant something different to the majority of challengers than meant to Bailey in that moment, I would say.
Right. And then later on we're gonna get more Bailey versus Nani after the tribunal situation where Bailey walks past Nani in the hall and she calls her a lying ass hoe,
Yeah,
and
not great.
Nani comes running after her. She's like, who are you calling a lying ass? Like what? And it turns into another whole fight in one of the bedrooms, and she's like, what am I lying about? Like you're alone, you're scared, and you're taking it out on me. And Bailey's yelling back at her. She's because this is again turning more into the whole Casey versus Bailey thing. She's like, we were something. And Casey's like, you are making that up. We were not anything. Like you're telling the whole house that we were some kind of serious thing. That was never the case. So, I mean, we're not going to get anywhere here. Like, neither one is going to like admit that the other is right. But this is, of course, as we mentioned earlier, where we get the Bailey like yelling at the top of her lungs, and just this is the point where she said two emotions. She either cries and she's like hiding in her bed and she's trying to avoid everybody, or she does this.
Yeah, so for anyone that I'm sure most people are familiar at least with Big Brother, but people that don't watch, there is a period of time, they have live feeds in which we get to watch everything, but there is a period of about a week to a week and a half where before the live feeds come on, there's stuff that we don't see happen. So definitely by the time that the live feeds came up, Bailey and Swaggy were an item. But obviously, I would say myself or you cannot comment if Bailey and Casey were ever anything more serious in terms of flirtation. But I know for me personally, when Bailey was saying stuff like, we discussed how I was your type, we discussed how, like, Bailey had, you know, considered that side of things, like with Casey, and like found her attractive also. And conversations like that, from the outside looking in, I never took that to be, oh, something was going to happen. Oh, they both had mutual interest, especially once Bailey and Swaggy are married on the outside. But Bailey definitely seemed to think that this was like a, we had feelings for each other, and now you are pretending that that never happened.
Yeah, so I mean, I think in my notes at least, we're pretty much at the elimination. What else is there to say to wrap up any of this Bailey versus Nani stuff? I mean, or Bailey versus Casey versus Nani. This was obviously a big episode. I know that Bailey tweeted out, I think this morning, saying that she's choosing to not watch the episode this week. Obviously, she knew what was coming, and she was saying something about, like, for her own, mental health, like, it's not worth it to watch. I don't know the status of their current relationship, which
I can't imagine good.
makes, but she was saying something about, I think when she tweeted that, saying like she didn't want to lose a friend. I should look up
Fair.
the exact tweet to see what she was talking about. But also, I mean, Bailey and Swaggy have both now done back-to-back interviews on Challenge Mania, which definitely go check those out if you have not yet. Swaggy was on this past week. I think I listened to that. That was today. I listened to. And he was making some kind of comment about how he and Casey are not friends. So, like, does feel like there's probably some animosity there, even though he was kind of presenting it as just like, no, we're just not friends. So it does seem like things have progressed in kind of a way that we might expect. I don't know. It just seems like they're not destined to be friends anytime soon, which could be interesting if anyone's on BB22, but I still
was
don't
gonna
believe
make that same comment.
it.
But I mean, the only things from there is, first of all, Bailey had a great line with there's tears and there's yelling, so which do you want? And I was like, all right, good line, I like that. But otherwise, I did see, just scrolling on right before we got here, another Swaggy tweet, which gives a little more context to it also, where when Casey is sitting in those like finale chairs on Big Brother and it is 4-4 and they say Bailey, like one vote left and it's Bailey's, and that vote comes out and that is the deciding vote to give Casey the $500,000. And then Bailey now says, Casey, I really need you, and she says nope. So definitely gives a
Man.
little more context as to why Bailey is like, wow, really did not help me at all.
Yeah, I honestly did not even think about that vote. Like, that was the moment of the finale where, like you said, it was that down to that one final vote, and everyone was like, is this going to happen again where the big gamer dude doesn't win because of the other person having a better social game? And it did happen again as Bailey ended up giving her vote to Casey. So, yeah, obviously, that was a pretty big thing she did for Casey, even though it was probably more against Tyler. No, I mean,
Well,
they had a good relationship, the two of them.
they did. It definitely soured, but it would say, from what I remember at least, and I am no live feed updater, but I would say that I feel like Casey, that Bailey definitely acknowledged that Tyler was playing a great game, definitely was saying like he pro like probably like would vote for this person, but like she has a very good relationship with Casey and voted for her in the end. So like that friendship got Casey $500,000. That friendship got Bailey nothing in this house.
And also, like, the level six versus Faute really has kind of continued into like real life over the years. Like, it was a thing on the show, and like if you look at things now, you barely kind of find them hanging out altogether. There was like a brief period where like CBS had them all doing things together, like Swaggy and Bailey, and then Brett and Winston were together for some like Love Island promo. But other than that, like there was a recent like Big Brother 20 Give Kids the World charity Zoom call or whatever that was, and it seemed like everybody was scheduled to be there, and then all of Faute dropped out, and it just ended up being level six on the call, like level six plus JC because he was not in that alliance. Plus maybe one other person, if I'm remembering, I'm not sure. So yeah, obviously does not seem like things have ever truly fully healed between the two sides. So, in the past 2 years, Casey was on one side, Bailey was on the other. So even though there was that vote of Bailey, awarding Casey the money, does seem like they've been separated throughout the years. And, even though they were on this show together, it doesn't surprise me that this is the way things are playing out.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, you think that like there are some, bridges in there, but apparently not enough.
Yes. So that's yeah, I think that's all I got for all of that. Time to get to the elimination.
That's fair.
All right, the elimination. I have no idea what it was called. Set
Off
up the
with your
elimination.
heads.
Off with your
Off
heads.
with your heads. Yeah.
Off
And
with your
so
heads.
basically, Each person would have five red skulls attached to their body, and both people would run into the ring, have to pull a skull off of their opponent and place it back on their podium. First person to five skulls won.
Yeah, so it's of course going to be Melissa, and then TJ is going to ask for the other person that is going to be voted in, unless Nani, if you want to come down and get your red skull. And Nani's like, TJ, I have never been more ready to go into an elimination. I'm like, okay, well, if you've never been more ready, then you are never winning another elimination again in your life. Nani, we love you sometimes. So yeah, the way this elimination ends up going down, it seems pretty even for a little bit. We get a confessional from Kyle talking about how Melissa was trained for MMA boxing. That is boxing. Yeah, that's boxing. Sure. And yeah, not much to really report on besides the fact that Melissa wins. There's one point where I think Nani ends up grabbing a skull while she's like out of bounds. Melissa got it while she was in bounds, and that was the one point that kind of put Melissa over the edge.
Yeah, I did see a little bit of Melissa had an unfair advantage having a sixth skull inside of her, but otherwise, not much else here.
The lines
definitely
never
rough on the rewatch, like looking back.
So Melissa and baby Vienna.
Sure.
I don't know if the baby's named after Kirsten's sister, Vienna.
Doesn't seem likely.
I don't know, maybe. And Melissa is going to win. Nani is going to follow her typical path. And how many times, like, please, somebody go back in the podcast this season. Actually, no, don't waste your time. But, like, the amount of times that I said or have always said, have always will always say that this is the spot that Nani will go out every single season. And it's just, it's fate. It's in her cards. And, I mean, even look at TJ on the way out. He's like, again, kind of thing. Like, what do you even say?
Yeah, definitely not surprising. Nani earlier in the episode is like, I just get nervous going into an elimination. Like, I'm just not used to it yet. It's like, how many do you have to do before you are used to this? Like, you have been in 9 and lost 8 of them, or maybe 10 at this point. So,
and she
even said
something about how she was like, I'm more prepared for this one. I don't feel that nerve today.
Yeah, definitely not great. A little behind the scenes. Would like to go back to our Randy draft just for everyone. Was going to post this. Our Randy Newpole draft. Newpole, yeah.
Randy.
Sorry,
what?
Randy. Randy Newpole. And where I drafted Melissa and you said, why are you drafting a pregnant woman? I said, well, who should I have picked? You said, Nani. Well, guess I made the right pick there. But ultimately, yeah, Nani is kind of destined, like you said, to go out right here.
Yes, she is every single time. And I mean, I also think I've said this once or twice or 5 times, but like, she still is a good draft pick. She got Haley some points on her team this season. You know, she's always gonna win one or two team daily challenges, whatever it is, and she lasting this point in the season is always gonna be good enough. So if she's still available and towards the late rounds, I, you know, I'm never gonna really come down hard on the person that takes her. So, yep, it's time for Nani to head out here, which must mean the final is getting closer. That's the only logical explanation, which it is, because next week is going to be a double elimination, as we still have some more red skulls to give out. It seems like everybody's going to get a chance.
Yeah, it looks. Do you think it's a men's and women's elimination, or are we going 2 men and then 2 women again the next week?
How many people are left? We have, or do you know the number?
Feels like we got a lot.
We have Bananas, Fessy, Nelson, Rogan, Corey, Kyle, and Josh. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 women. So
yeah,
that's confusing.
I can't feel like we are going in to the final with 11 people.
No, you usually go in with an even number. I would say you're probably going to end up going, probably 1 men, 1 women elimination. I don't see them doing like another whole set of 2 guys and 2 girls. I feel like we're just going to get rid of 2 more people next week. And then once we get to like the pre-stage of the final, drop another person or two or three people, whatever it is, and then get things going.
Yeah, that seems fair. I don't know if maybe we'll do two men's this week and then one women's the final week, but definitely feels like a lot of people to be. I mean, even in War of the Worlds, where it was like there's going to be four men and four women, I was like, this seems like a lot. So to go up, to bring that number up to 11 or whatever the case may be, I'm not so, I'm not thrilled about it if that's the case.
Yeah, so we'll have to see how it all plays out. I believe I read last week that there were five episodes left, which would mean after today there are
Okay.
four. And if you, I don't know if that includes the reunion, but I know
I
I
can't
imagine that
imagine.
includes like just until the end of the final. So we have probably the double elimination next week, maybe one final episode before the final the following week, and then a two-part final.
Something like that. I could see that. Like either two men's next week or a men's and a woman's, and then a men's the week after. But let's get some people out of here. I do not need to see, all of these people who stand no shot in the final.
Yeah, and I mean, some people are just being taken off the screen anyway. So
That
we're
is fair.
seeing less and less of certain people anyway. Like, what are we even like starting to show soon? Like, there was obviously a lot of drama this week, so they kind of got saved with that. But I feel like the person who shall not be named was like involved in so much drama. I'm like surprised they've been able to, for the most part, edit around her, I guess. But then again, like I said, this week they had a lot to work with, so I don't know. Interested to see how it goes next
Yeah.
week.
That is something that like when I'm watching the show, I'm wondering like how would this have been different if things had not gone the way they did. And I feel like this episode was probably pretty similar to how it would have been.
That's all I got for this episode. You got anything else?
No, just Bailey with one more great line with Nani on her way out. She says, "I don't think the challenge is for you, sweetheart." It's like
Oh
she's been
man,
doing this for like 10 years. Like, oh
oh, read the room. Like, I get that she was so excited. She was like, she had that confessional. She was like, I hope that Nani goes because that would make me feel better about all this stuff. Like, it was all her fault. But, like, yeah, that line was brutal. Like, this is not for you. Like, she has made so much money just from returning on this show and not making the final for how many seasons? Like, this is your second season, Bailey, and
It's her
it's
first.
second reality TV
Second
seasons.
reality show.
Yeah,
Gotcha,
sorry, that's
gotcha,
what I
gotcha.
was saying in my head. Yeah, so let's cool it a little bit, but we'll see. I
I don't
mean,
hate
would
it.
love to see Bailey back if no other reason than she obviously has built-in feuds coming back.
Yeah, a decent competitor, definitely decent TV. So far I am a thumbs up on Bailey back.
Stop saying D.
I did not say D.
I heard D sent.
Oh,
She who must
okay.
not be named
Sorry.
sent.
A redactance.
All right. So yeah, that's it for today, tonight, for this week of the challenge, episode number 35. No, the season 35, episode number 83, of this season. Thank you guys, of course, as always, for listening. Make sure you are following us on Twitter. I am at Matt Liguori. Scally is at Brian_Scally. And that's it. Have you done anything else exciting in the past week?
No, quarantine's not been exciting.
Well, it's almost over. That's a
Should
weird
it
thing
be,
to
though?
say.
Should it be?
Yeah, but
Should
it's
it
like
be?
we're like phase four around the corner. Like wow.
That fit, I don't know. We won't get into the details, but phase four for New York is not going to look like what phase four was originally going to look like. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't anticipate myself, rushing out of the house into public anytime soon.
Fair enough. So yes, follow us on Twitter, and if anything does come up as quarantine still continues for however long it continues, I'm sure you'll check all that out there. But until next week, thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you then.